Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Periodically, I find myself wondering what would have happened if post-World War II, the veterinary medical profession had opted to refine its food animal and farm animal orientation to incorporate the emerging companion animal population instead of choosing to pattern itself after human medicine. The kinds of thoughts these ruminations have evoked has led me to call this series of podcasts the Animal X-Files. Some people think of such thoughts as something that really shouldn't be said in public. I don't see it that way. But the other reason I decided to call the series the Animal X-Files is because a lot of the ramifications involved with this choice involve sex in one way or another. And as we all know, sex is X-rated. But let's begin with the most neutral effects. One effect was the emerging role of the problem-oriented approach. This was the idea that if we could focus on medical problems, this would be more energy efficient and more effective than if we looked at the whole patient, let alone if we looked at the whole patient in the context of that animal's physical and mental environment. I'm the last person to say that the problem-oriented method didn't provide some advantages. But I will venture to say that had veterinary medicine opted to evolve its farm animal orientation instead of adopting the human animal one, I don't think it would have become as invasive and as isolating as it has become. There's a simple reason for this. If you work with farm animals, like cattle or pigs, all of them for that matter, you quickly learn that if you zero in on a problem and ignore the animal's behavior, you could find yourself kicked through the side of a stall or a barn so fast your head would spin. So you'll have to take the animal's behavior into account for your own safety. In addition to that, you have to think about the animal's behavior and the animal's problem as it relates to the other animals in that flock or that herd. You have to think in terms of herd health or flock health. And the same thing is true with the bond. It's not just a calf with pneumonia. It is a calf that represents an investment of time, money, energy, and emotion from a good herdsman, shepherd, farmer, rancher who wants to succeed. It's your job as the veterinarian to give him or her the tools with which to do this. So even though you might want to reduce this calf or this horse or this pig or this chicken to not just a horse or a pig or a chicken, but the lungs of a horse or a pig or a chicken, you can't do it. You need to simultaneously think globally, at least in terms of this farm. If it's a farm that is selling its products internationally, you need to think globally in terms of that big wide world out there too. So the problem-oriented approach would be such a hindrance that it couldn't be enforced in the same way it is in some companion animal practices and in some and the majority of human ones. Additionally, the problem-oriented approach gave rise to specialists, and then specialists within those specialties, then more specialists within those specialties. And if you're a human, canine, or a feline patient, you can be bounced from specialist to specialist to specialist to specialist. While there are specialists in food animal practice, they don't take the animal and put the animal in a little box. As clinicians, they don't look only at that animal's cardiovascular system or urogenital system. They don't see it as a medical problem or a surgical problem or a behavioral problem. They see the whole animal because they must see the whole animal in order to succeed. Does the fact that they may be motivated by finances change that they view the whole animal? Does it make those of us who reduce the animal to a body part and bounce that animal from specialist to specialist to specialist seeking a cure, does that make us somehow better? It's rather ironic because in the process of making that choice to pattern ourselves after human medicine, we moved further away from the bond, further away from behavior and their role in maintaining animal health than if we had not.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.